We're back.
Okay, so as you can see right here, I have 104 gigabyte volume there. You recognize up top SCA. This laptop obviously doesn't have two actual physical disks to it. It's just pretty cheap. But that volume appeared after I ran that refresh command, which you guys will see what that is. All it is using TSOC to forward 3260, which is TCP IP port for Sandbox for ISOP traffic. And it's connecting the disk. The connect, I think when I was doing this, Dusty asked me, I think he was talking to me all the time, how decent the transfer rate. It's okay over SSH. Again, I'm not running enterprise here at home, I'm just running my own setup. But in enterprise, you would go, there's easier ways to get faster speed and so forth. Now that I go into that later on. But the point is that, I know I'm mounting a volume, I shouldn't be doing it this way. Model's old program. There it is. That's 100 gigabyte volume connected to it remotely from here through the interwebs and to my house over in DC. All it's doing is using SSH tunnel. So I'm connected there. Okay. So I have to discuss this because a lot of people deal with Windows, unfortunately. So I'll just go down the options really quickly. To get Windows Initiator working, you also don't have to pack in the AUR. You install the ISOP Initiator. It's a built-in package you have in your programs. Select the Discovery tab, add your target portal, type your host or IP, set the port to 3260, select Advanced. You're using CHAP info, you use CHAP login, and the username is secret. Select Pirates to OK, and the next thing, the next slot, or the next page after that, the checkbox automatically connect this target upon boot up. That's all you need for the for your Windows XP, Vista, all up to 2003, doesn't need server. Okay. Kind of back to what I was talking about earlier. Securing the same volume. All your data is going over clear text for the most part. That's why I'm using SSH tunnel. Usually you can use CHAP authentication. In general CHAP can send some things in clear text. If you follow basic ISOP building guidelines, you can avoid most of the replay and manual attacks that CHAP is vulnerable to. One of the first things I recommend when setting ISOP setup is to level network isolation, use different VLANs. You have obviously different VLANs in the network. You have two adapters in the server, possibly one or two adapters on the client machine, and you would separate traffic with VLAN. One might be for server traffic. VLAN 2 might be for actual SAN traffic. Sorry, my server traffic, like internal data traffic. Physical network isolation. Government practices often, they actually have different layers for classification. Sometimes they do this for SAN traffic as well. They usually do pay a little bit of notice to use fiber. You can separate the traffic by saying, this network over here, the switches and routers and everything control data traffic. Internal internet, file sharing, etc. Servers have access to another entire different network segment that just runs SAN traffic. All it does is route back and forth SAN traffic. Obviously, it's a little expensive. So usually networks just have to go with a lot of the network isolation. Provided you do one of these, you avoid a lot of the security risks that might happen with clear text protocols. Authorization. If you're just doing log and network isolation, then authorization is important. But like I showed you, targets and initiators dial allow. In general, if you configure these, then you configure it so that some person on the network who just accidentally installed ISOP the initiator doesn't connect to your volumes. That's the first layer of security layers, so that's like the first layer to stop them being good. Encryption. You can control the access to these by installing and configuring IPsec tunnels. The problem is that they've been flaky with SAN connections, and even my SSH connection every now and then is flaky back in my home server. But there is tutorials to IPsec. I'm not doing this, just have no reason to. Go ahead.
If you're
send it and translate it client-side, or would it translate it on the server and then send it?
It would translate on the server. So it would still be sending clear text. Okay. This Visio is not that great. I meant to say these both these switches are the same actual network segment, but the point was to show that one VLAN would be going to one VLAN would be for the server, and one VLAN would be for the SAN traffic. Okay, other super options. I went over SSH on, I actually showed you guys how to, that I'm connecting through SSH right now, SAN on. Okay, for small environments, but I wouldn't recommend it for, if you have an enterprise, don't use what I did. It's not smart, it won't work, and you'll have people complaining all the time. Can handle the use of one user, just, I wouldn't give it much more than that. VPN connectivity, obviously you can use whatever, if your organization is using a command WAN, or for multi-site connection, you can use whatever VPN utility. Cisco has several, and they provide VPN tunnels, and if you have it so that the VLANs are tagged and routed properly, you can have the data transfer over long distance so you don't have to worry about such security issues. And obviously it's flexible because if you're running on some hardware that could handle that kind of traffic. And likely going through pipes to handle the traffic. Replication. I heard RSync mentioned a couple bit yesterday for a couple options for copying files. A lot of people automatically think for replication for SAN volumes, RSync is a good option. It's not really. It's meant to be a backup utility compared to a replication option. Replication options in general are always running, and they're always, if you have two files, one over here and one over there, you want to keep them in sync, because if for some reason this server goes down, you want that server to have an exact copy of what's on this server. In many environments, you have two SAN locations and a server connecting to both of them, and it's running applications based on the data off one of the sites. One site goes down, you don't want that application to go down. You want to constantly have a good copy of the data. DRBD is one of the only open source options I've seen that can do this. It's a replication utility. It supports semi-synchronous, asynchronous, and synchronous, which means you support different data rates, and it's competitive to, for example, private options by left-hand networks or EMC. Questions? Thank you.